Today's scripture is from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, and it reads, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the word of the Lord.
This morning, we are really blessed to have our district superintendent share the message with us. It's not normal that we would have such a guest to share the message, so pay close attention. And at this time, I'd like to invite Reverend Nakagawa to share the message with us.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you so very much. And it is really a treat for me to be here this morning with all of you. As I was driving in this morning, it was somewhat of a cathartic experience because during this week, I've been reflecting, if I can take a few moments, I've just been reflecting on how much of a presence this Chinatown community has played in my life and really at different points in my life. Matter of fact, I was asking Andy and Vince Pang, yesterday Centenary in Little Tokyo had their annual bazaar. I couldn't make it because of the district conference we had. But every year, Centenary gets their chashu baos from Family Restaurant here in Chinatown. And I was asking where there are other restaurants I know of, but I don't know where Family Restaurant is. And I told my wife, "Hey, I'm going to be in Chinatown this morning. I'll pick up some chashu bao before I come home." So I was trying to find out where Family Restaurant is. If any of you know, let me know, okay? However, this Chinatown community has been so important to me throughout my entire life. You know, nowadays, people go out to restaurants like it's no big thing. My guess is many of you will go out to a restaurant for dinner tonight. Yet when I was a kid growing up, many, many decades ago, I have to confess, going out to a restaurant was a treat. It was not something we did regularly, maybe once a week on average. And some of my fondest memories of those times was that more often than not, when our family went out to dinner at night, we would come to Chinatown. And I remember the two restaurants that we went to more often than not. General Lee's Manzhen Lo was one of them, and Manfuk Lo was another one. Some of you remember those restaurants. And just thinking of those days brings back so many fond memories. And then later on in my life, during my college years in the 1970s, a group of us at UCLA formed a tutoring group called the Asian American Tutorial Project. And for 5 years, from 1973 to 1978, we spent every Saturday morning during the school year right here at Castellar, tutoring the kids here from Chinatown. One of my vivid memories, in fact, a friend of mine, a childhood friend of mine, Robert Kwan, his mother was the vice principal of Castellar at that time. And it was also during this time, particularly when the U.S. was starting to withdraw from Vietnam and the boat people, so-called boat people, were coming over, that I literally witnessed this community transform overnight from 100% Chinese to about 50% Chinese and 50% Southeast Asian. The kids we tutored here at Castellar, instead of just being only Chinese, began to be Cambodian, Vietnamese, and Hmong as well. And then finally, when my wife and I began the adoption process, now some 20 years ago, we met the adoptive parents. The very first meeting, you know, when you go through the adoption process, some of you may be familiar with this, the adoption counselor sets up a meeting between you and the birth parents. And the very first meeting that we had with our birth parents was at Little Joe's, which is no longer here. And then that following year, 1998, our son Nicholas was born at the hospital here in Chinatown. I grew up knowing it as French Hospital. Nowadays it is called Alliance Medical Center. He was supposed to have been born at Garfield Medical Center out in Alhambra, but the birth mother gave birth early and was forced to come here to this hospital where he was given, he was given birth. He will turn 19 in July. And as I drove down Hill Street this morning, coming here, it doesn't seem like 19 years ago we were here at this hospital in the waiting room. It seems just like 3 or 4 months ago that happened. And so all this is to say that it really is a joy for me to be here this morning to bring the message here at this church. Finally, let me also say, when I began in ministry 32 years ago, one of your former pastors, the beloved late Reverend Dr. Leo Hsu, was really one of my mentors early on. Leo was one of the founders of the National Chinese Caucus, and it was during that time that I, as a seminary student actually, and as someone who grew up at the former Centenary Church over on 35th and Normandy, got involved in the Asian Caucus movement. And it was really Reverend Hsu who was one of my early mentors in ministry. And it is to him, as well as many others of his generation, that I owe so much as one of the shepherds who mentored me and helped me along throughout my ministry. One other thing I'll add is, during the 16 years that I pastored at Centenary in Little Tokyo, I always came to the post office right across the street here in Chinatown, because it was the most efficient post office. It was more efficient than the post office in Little Tokyo. And so I would come here and use the post office across the street here. And I always told Eva this. Several times I called her and said, "Hey, I'm coming to the post office. Let's have lunch while I'm down here." Again, it is a joy for me to be here this morning, and I am certainly in a very familiar space here at the church and here in the Chinatown community. Since becoming a district superintendent last July, I have spent most of my time visiting churches, getting to know people. I was just saying to some folks the other day that on average, I spend the equivalent of maybe one full day in the district office. The rest of my time is out visiting the different churches, attending meetings, visiting the pastors and the laity. We have 85 churches on the West District, from the Palisades all the way down to Seal Beach, and then going west to east along the 710, and the 605, communities such as Norwalk, Downey, Bell, Cerritos, Bell Gardens, Norwalk, all the way to the Santa Ana Freeway, the 5. So it is a large area. Fortunately for me, it's just getting off one off-ramp and getting on another on-ramp. because of this, I have the experience of visiting so many different churches and seeing so many different types of church buildings and church architecture. Now, in some respects, many of our churches share so many similar qualities. Almost all of our churches have a large visible sign out front with the name of the church, along with the familiar United Methodist logo, the cross in flame. Many of our churches also have a cross that is visible either on the rooftop or somewhere out on the front of the building. And most of our churches are painted in a color that blends in with the other structures that are on the same street. This reminds me of my first appointment 32 years ago when I was appointed to a church in Sacramento. About 2 or 3 years after I arrived at that church, a Hmong family started to come. Mother and father and 7 children. We baptized all 9 of them on that Easter. I spoke with one of the younger daughters who had the best command of English language. She was the one that I always communicated with. And I asked her, I said, you know, it's great that your family is coming to this church, but I'm curious. We are a Japanese-American church, and there are many Southeast Asian churches here in Sacramento, so why are you coming to us? And here was her response. When we first came to America, we were resettled in Seattle, and we attended a Catholic church there. When we moved here to Sacramento, we drove by your church during that first week, and your church building looks just like the building we went to at that Catholic church in Seattle. So that's when we decided to start coming to this church. It shows you that in many cases, people's choices of churches are based on a lot of other things besides the faith. I've noticed, however, that there is one aspect of a church building that often differs from church to church, and that is the door, specifically the front door. There are churches, such as this one, where the front door is on the front of the church. Yes, I know you also have a side door, but it is this door that is the main door of the church. There are other churches, however, where the main door is on the side. And I've visited some of our churches where it's taken me a good 5 or 10 minutes walking all the way around the building just to figure out where the door is. And then there are different types of church doors. Doors that are solid wood, such as yours. Doors that are glass. Doors that are metal and other materials. Some doors are plain. Others have nice designs. This leads to the question, what is the reason for having a door? Is it to enter the building or to leave it? Are doors built mainly for the benefit of those on the inside or for those on the outside? Is the purpose of a door to keep people out or to welcome people in? There's that old saying, the door swings both ways. And that is so true for churches. And in this week's gospel reading from John 10, the image of the door is central to understanding Jesus. Jesus says that he is the door. Now, the exact word that is used in the reading is gate, but that Greek word gate is also translated into the word door. I am the door, Jesus says. It's an interesting figure of speech, isn't it? I am the door. More than Matthew, Luke, and Mark, John's gospel has Jesus saying, I am, in more times and in different ways. It is this gospel where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It is also in this gospel only that Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And also, John's gospel is the only gospel where Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And in the paragraph immediately following the one that we just heard, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. In this morning's reading, in this week's lectionary passage, Jesus says, I am the door. Jesus then goes on to talk about those who refuse to go through the door into the sheepfold, those thieves, outlaws, mischief makers who try to sneak over the wall and to cause trouble among the flock. And then Jesus moves from this reflection about doors and the sort of people who refuse to use them to his direct statement, I am the door. What does Jesus mean by this? In one sense, this is a very humble image of Jesus. Jesus is the door that leads to God. The door is not the house, but the passageway into the house, a means of getting to the destination. For Jesus to say, I am the door, is similar to Jesus saying, I am the way. Jesus is the way to God, the way to a full, meaningful life, the path to true freedom. Jesus says, I am the door, meaning that he is the means whereby we get to God. This is who Christians are. People who think that of all the possible ways there are to get to God, the best way and the surest way is through Jesus. Through this Jewish peasant who lived briefly, died violently, and rose unexpectedly. Through this Jesus, we have the most reliable way to get to God. As I said, this strikes me as a humble image for Jesus to apply to himself. If he's the door to the destination, then he is not just the destination itself. And yes, we understand Jesus in the Trinitarian formula, Jesus as parent, father, and mother, Jesus as son, Jesus as Holy Spirit. But it is clear that Jesus is saying in this passage, he is not only the destination, God himself, but Jesus as the door is also the way to get to God. He is the way to the destination. Nevertheless, the door to the destination is just as important as the destination itself. A door tells you a great deal about the character of a building, doesn't it? A recent article in a banking journal tells the history of bank buildings and doors, and it's very, very telling that a century ago, bank buildings were built as big, monstrous structures with large wooden doors on the front. And then over time, the buildings have gotten smaller. The doors have transformed from wood to glass so that you can see through them to see what is going on, a way to make the banks appear more user-friendly. When we look at Jesus, we see God. We believe that we have seen as much of God as we ever hope or expect to see about God. Jesus is not only the door into the house, but a door that is part of the house, a door that tells us much about the house. Jesus is the door, the only door to God. Now, we believe this not in an arrogant way, not in an exclusive way, not in a way that will prevent my Buddhist grandparents or your Confucian grandparents from reuniting someday in the eternal home. But we believe that Jesus is the only way to God in a way of humility. And that is, we can't imagine that people like us would have any way to God except through Jesus. He has been for us that door, that opening, that way, that window by which we have done something that is very difficult for people like us to do, namely, to be close to God. I am the door, says Jesus, the door that opens so that you can know fully who God is. As I thought about this week's gospel reading, and especially where I would be preaching today, I remembered a page, several pages, from my research on the history of Japanese American churches, a history that I wrote about 5 or 6 years ago. And one of the things that I realized in my research was that the Japanese American Christian Church began within the walls of a Chinese church. The truth of the matter is that the first generation of Japanese American Christians, my grandparents' generation, gathered in the basement of a Chinese church, the Presbyterian Church in San Francisco's Chinatown, Portsmouth Square. And it was there in that basement that this group of first-generation Christians called Fukuinkai Gospel Society, the characters are written on that purple banner right there, that they met in the basement of that church. They worshiped there. They gathered there. They baptized there. And it was from the basement of that Chinese church where the Japanese American Christian Church was born. Later on, this group would go off and separate and become parts of different denominations, the Methodist Episcopal Church being one of them. And so, in my own personal life of faith, I would not be here preaching this sermon had it not been for that Chinese church opening its doors to my ancestors, allowing them to know Jesus and enabling them to become the Church of Jesus Christ. Someone in that church opened the door for them, and it is to them and because of them that I am able to be who I am today. Jesus says, I am the door. And we are called to open the doors, to open the doors of this church to all who seek to come through and enter into the life of Jesus Christ. We are called to open doors to any and all who seek the peace of Christ, who seek salvation in its truest form. I am the door, says Jesus. All who come through me will know God. Let us open the doors of Jesus. And let us remember that every time, each Sunday, you open the doors to this church, you open your hearts so that someone, maybe one person, one new person, will come to know new and full life in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Such this morning. I guess it helps me to now, every time I reach to open a door, I can be reminded of his message that we can open the door to others. Again, thank you so much for the message. Now we will have communion, and I'd like to ask for the wireless mic.
Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him and who earnestly repent of their sin and to seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess together our sins before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us remain in a moment of silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God.
Amen. Let us now join in the prayer of great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join there an ending hymn as we say together, Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. He commissioned us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth and to make disciples of all nations. And today his family in all the world is joining at his holy table. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim together the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with your church throughout the world and strengthen it in every nation and among every people to witness faithfully in your name. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forevermore. Amen. This bread is the body of Christ, broken for you, the gift of God for the people of God. This is the cup of the new covenant, the blood of Christ poured out for you, the gift of God for the people of God. Defender of the weak.
the throne of your grace, I can justly cry out, I cry out. And praise the one who bestows in us a love that's staying across, and crown him king of victory, and king of you and me. Oh, praise the one who bestows in us a love that stains an old rugged cross, and crown him king of victory, O king of the UN, king of me. The one he claimed from the wretch that I,
after the elements have been served, now it's a time for our offering. Again, I'd like to ask the ushers to come forward to collect the offering. Please give from your heart. Please rise. Join me in prayer. Jesus, we love you, and it's a privilege that we can offer these gifts to you. May they be honorable and to serve the community. Father, again, thank you for the many blessings you have given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Again, we come to a time in our service for announcements. Again, they're in the bulletin and on the screen. Is there anyone that would like to make any highlight any announcements at this time? Susan. Oh, you need a mic? Okay, thank you so much, Susan. Again, this is a church event, as a family event, so let's all give our best to the church. Any other announcements? Just a reminder, the SPRC will be meeting right after this service for a few minutes, and then also at 1 o'clock today, so if you are a member, please attend the meeting. If I don't see any other announcements, let's all stand for the closing hymn. My
life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, it's in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you. faith in you. I will praise you with all of my life. I will praise you with all of my strength, with all of my life, with all of my strength. All of my hope is in you. My life is in you, Lord, my strength. It's in you, Lord, my hope. It's in you, Lord, it's in you, it's in you. My life is in you, Lord, my strength. It's in you, Lord, my hope. It's in you, Lord, in you, it's in you. I will praise you with all of my life. I will praise you with all of my strength, with all of my life, with all of my strength. All of my hope is in you. My life is in you, Lord, my strength. It's in you, Lord, my hope. It's in you, Lord, in you, it's in you. My life is in you, Lord, my strength. It's in you, Lord, my hope. It's in you, Lord, in you.
Amen. Amen. Now as we go forth, let us be those who go forth to open the doors to God so that those around us may feel welcome, accepted, and grace to come in to know the love of Jesus. Let this be our blessing. Amen.